This is Radio Influence. This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
And welcome in, everybody, to this Thursday, September 14th edition of the Landry Football Podcast. Got a lot to get to today, obviously. So we want to break down college football weekend, the NFL weekend. It starts, obviously, on Thursday with the Texans and Bengals. Two 0-1 teams desperately in need of a win. We've got an interesting matchup in college football, New Mexico and Boise. We won't spend a whole lot of time on that, but we've got some information on that up on the website. But we want to get into all the latest and break down the games for you this weekend. It's not a great slate in college football, but for some interesting matchups nonetheless. I think you'll be interested. Want to remind you that we are still trying to do our best to help the flood victims in Florida and Texas. And we've got a great opportunity for you to get involved in this website, to be a member. Of course, we've got a lot of free information, but if you want to gain access to your own NFL-style scouting department and get access from inside the film room and the latest information around the college football and NFL game, that's what we do at LandryFootball.com, and you can join us, and we will take 50% of your membership costs, and we will put it towards buying supplies for the victims of the floods in southeast Texas and Florida. So help us. Check us out at LandryFootball.com. We'll go over some of these games, but we've got complete breakdowns, film room breakdowns of all these games, the NFL games, the college games. So, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on, latest information. We'll take care of that for you as well. Want to talk a little bit about some of the news and notes that are going on around the NFL as we kind of get ready. I know a lot of you are involved in fantasy leagues. We cover a lot of information for you. You can check it out on the website. The information we try to provide for you, news and notes and injuries and whatnot. It looks like Danny Woodhead, as expected, is going to miss the majority of this season. He'll miss at least 4 weeks, and we'll go from there. So he's going to be out. Buck Allen is the Ravens receiving back. So keep that in mind as you start to formulate your team. There's no question that Allen saw more opportunities than Terrence West, but Allen and West are going to be a committee, while Langford and Collins will be called up from the practice squad for the Ravens. The Patriots, Danny Amendola is still not practicing in concussion protocol. You know, I think you really need to look at Hogan and Brandon Cooks for your receiver. They are going to run when they run their 11 personnel. You know, Hogan is the lone slot receiver. It's going to be a difficult matchup this week for the Saints against this angry Patriots team, but look for them to get a lot of success out of their receivers, and you might want to keep that in mind this week. After missing week one, Thomas Rawls is practicing in full for the 49ers. He's expected to play. C.J. Procise, Eddie Lacy were mostly left on the bench, but it looks like they're not going to get a whole lot of reps if Rawls can go. Kerwin Williams is going to start in place of David Johnson in Arizona, with Andre Ellington being the primary third down back. Chris Johnson's re-signed. Elijah Penny or other guys that are on the roster that you need to be aware of. Check out, again, our daily notebooks and our film room breakdowns for all the latest information there on that. Some other notes, C.J. Fedorowicz for the Texans is going to be out tonight with a concussion. Ryan Griffin as well, so they're down two tight ends. Steven Anderson has a concussion. It's actually three tight ends. And then Bruce Ellington with a concussion, all have been ruled out. So Brian Cushing is suspended for 10 games for performance-enhancing drugs. What else is new that's been a problem for him? The Jags' Jalen Ramsey, the corner, did not practice on Wednesday. T.J. Yeldon is practicing for the Titans this week, should play some. The Colts placed Denzel Good, their right tackle, on IR. Terrence Williams, with an ankle, did not practice. Devontae Booker returned to practice for the Broncos, won't play in week two. Josh Dotson was limited this week and limited on Wednesday practice. And Brian Bulaga didn't practice for the Packers, the right tackle. Marcus Wheaton, with a finger, remained sidelined. Jermaine Gresham did not practice on Wednesday. And Dante Hightower, the will backer for the Patriots, didn't practice on Wednesday. And Teron Armstead is going to likely be sidelined as well for this week's game against the Patriots as the Saints try with 0-2 try to get back on track somehow, some way. We open up the NFL season tonight with, as we mentioned, two teams that are in bad need of a win. Cincinnati really struggled on both sides of the ball. They've got Adam Jones coming back, and we'll see what he can add to defense. Can he provide a spark? You know, can he get the defense going, make plays that they were unable to do last week? The Bengals struggled on defense. They struggled really poorly in the red zone on offense. Andy Dalton continues to struggle inside the red zone. The offensive line did not play well at all. It's really back to the drawing board for them. For the Texans, much the same thing. They just did not play well defensively. I would expect that to change. I'd expect them to get healthy on defense in this game with the Texans. J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Mercilus is combined for 5 sacks in the past 2 meetings with these guys. And the Cincinnati offensive line has 3 first-year starters with the guard T.J. Johnson, Trey Hopkins out with a knee injury. They struggled a lot last week. That's where I think Houston can – there's a chance for them to get better. Now, on offense, I don't know how much better the Texans are going to get. Their offensive line play was putrid last week. And they're going to start Deshaun Watson and use his mobility at quarterback, kind of get outside the pocket, see if they can make some things happen. We'll see where it goes. The Bengals going to rotate, had a rotation of 3 running backs last Sunday, and probably going to do more of the same tonight with Giovanni Bernard, rookie Joe Mixon, Jeremy Hill, trying to find that hot hand, try to find that guy that's going to make a difference. For the Texans, DeAndre Hopkins was targeted 16 times last week at 1 touchdown. You know, I think with the tight end problems, I think that Houston is going to have to really rely on big games from their receivers and their backs in the passing game. Cincinnati absolutely are going to be looking offensively to Tyler Eifert. They've got to get Andy Dalton back on track. John Ross, the rookie first-round pick, is a guy that could really help stretch the field and create some openings over the middle in the seam. A need to get this passing game going to the Bengals here. So a lot's been talked about. How is Bill O'Brien going to fix this offense? Well, you know, a lot of it is focused on the quarterback, but until this offensive line plays better, until they establish the line of scrimmage and the run game better, it's going to be a problem with whoever plays quarterback, and it will be Deshaun Watson, and I do believe it's going to be Deshaun Watson going forward. Good, bad, or indifferent, I think that's how it's going to play out. But how well he plays and how well he progresses will depend greatly on how the play of the offensive line progresses going forward. So a pressurized game, you know, you when you look at it, you know, it if you start off 0-2, your chances of making the playoffs are significantly reduced. For Cincinnati, didn't see them as a playoff team. I think Houston was definitely a division contender. So pressure on both, but clearly I think probably even more pressure when it comes to the Texans. There's just so much expectations about this team being good with their defense. Just a bad start for them. If they struggle out 0-2, they can write things on the offensive line. Their starting right guard Jeff Allen's going to miss the game due to an ankle injury. He can miss a few games, in fact. Greg Mantz going to start opposite Xavier Sulafilo. Mantz is a tough, overachieving guy out of Toledo. I thought he played fairly well last year when Nick Martin was ruled out for the year with an ankle injury. But, you know, he's a bright guy, but he's going to have to perform really well. Running game. How much they can get going in the running game is going to be pivotal for the Texans here. I think he can run the football on this Bengal defense. We'll see how much success they can have. That would take a lot of pressure off the passing game and allow that more chance to have success. Always remember that when you're looking at the ability to run or pass, it's the ability to do both and to have that type of balance, to work the entire field, that creates the opportunities to be successful at either one. If you can only do one well, you're not going to be very good at it because you're not going to be able to maximize the ability to take advantages of the fronts and the coverages that you're going to see. It is a little bit of taking what they give you, but you can only take what they give you if you're capable of executing against what they give you. And that is something that it's often misunderstood. Play calling is misunderstood. People criticize play calling when it doesn't work. They know very little about why a play call was made. They couldn't even tell you what the front or coverage was. And therefore, if you can't do that, you really have no business criticizing play calling unless you understand it. But it is imperative to be able to do multiple things and to have a nice pocket of adjustment in your game plan to be able to go forward with any play call decision. Some interesting games in the NFL. The ones that most intrigue me are Green Bay and Atlanta on Sunday night. We're talking about a Green Bay team that played very well defensively last week. It was against a Seattle offensive line that struggled. How much better is this Green Bay defense? Going to be pivotal. This Falcons defense did not play all that well last week. They did come up big, making a few plays when they had to against the Bears. But I want to see that, how that, this is an early season matchup that kind of gives you a feel for where the top of the NFC is, as two of these teams are very, very good. Another team that I think has a chance to be pretty good, but we'll see and hold off on getting a feel for how good they are. And by the way, it takes about 5 weeks to get a good feel for how a team is and what teams are good and what teams are not, and what makes them good and what makes them successful and how they will function going forward, barring injuries. But this Minnesota team got off to a good start on Monday night. They go on a short week to Pittsburgh on the road. It's going to be a tough matchup. Very good defensive effort against the Saints. Offensively, they protected well against a bad Saints defensive front. Pittsburgh is a lot better, a lot more aggressive. That's going to be an interesting matchup. The Steelers did not pull it great out particularly well against the Browns. Check out that film room review. But they found a way to get it done. And again, early on, the problems in line play, I think, were evident around the league. And I think that they were systemic across all teams. Dallas, Denver, intriguing, only because it's in Denver. Dallas is the better team here. Big win last week. Should be able to run the football on Denver. Denver's ability to run the football is going to be pivotal here. They blew a lead and had to hold on to beat the Chargers on Monday night. But that was an indication of potential problems of being able to protect leads with the lack of a running game. I thought the offensive line struggled, as expected, on the outside for Denver. But this would obviously be a huge win for the Broncos if they can win at home. Dallas certainly looks the better team of the two. Philadelphia, Kansas City is intriguing. I thought Philadelphia did a good job of playing smart, fundamental football and out-executing Washington last week. I don't know that they were appreciably better, but they were better in terms of protecting the football, making good decisions. I thought Philadelphia got after Washington at the line of scrimmage defensively. Washington couldn't block them, and offensively they didn't get a whole lot done. So that was encouraging to see the Eagles' defense. The offense will be fine. Not a lot of playmakers, but Carson Wentz is the real deal. Kansas City, what can you say more about their performance? Week one was phenomenal. Very curious to see how they respond this week again off of a big win. This is a very good defensive team. The Chiefs, definitely the better team of the two. Baltimore's defense looked really good. It was against Cincinnati. How good this defense is, I want to see how much they will be tested against Cleveland. Not quite sure. Very interested in seeing that and monitoring that game. This Buffalo team got a win last week against the Jets. Carolina played well last week in stretches. Curious to see Carolina at home is going to be pivotal. How about this matchup? This is a matchup of two teams that are struggling big time. Who's going to get it done? The Colts hosting the Cardinals. Still like the Cardinals a little bit more because without Andrew Luck, this Colts team is looks really, really bad and really can't find their way. The Cardinals, though, are going to be without David Johnson, the age of Carson Palmer. I look at these teams as two non-playoff teams. We'll see who can get a win here going forward. What can Tennessee do to rebound off of a loss against a good Raider team, going on the road against to Jacksonville and playing a Jacksonville team, obviously, that is coming off of a big win over Houston, playing well at the line of scrimmage. Very curious to see how Tennessee holds up at home against the Jags here. New England, New Orleans, boy, this could be the mismatch of the week. New Orleans, I just don't see how defensively they're going to stop this Patriots offense. The Patriots with Tom Brady, I expect them to get a lead, force the Saints to play from behind, and if they do that and the Saints have to abandon the run, their defense is really no chance. I would expect the Saints offense to play a little better, a little crisper, and try to get some things going in the passing game. We'll see how that plays out. Tampa finally gets to play. They host Chicago. It's really hard to know what the Bucs are going to have here and how sharp they're going to be, not playing a game in a while. You really wonder. Coming off the preseason, the Bucs did not do a good job offensively in the red zone. Very curious to see how they are able to get things done here. Same thing, the Bears played very well but fell short. This is a game that's gettable for the Bears on the road. We'll see if they can close it out this week. Dolphins, same thing as the Bucs and not being able to play. The Chargers played well in the second half against Denver, but struggled early. We'll see what Miami can do. This is, again, tough to figure out how sharp they're going to be in the first game. The Raiders look really good at home against the Jets. This is a Jets team that doesn't have a whole lot going for it right now. A couple of individual players on defense, but just not a lot of playmakers on offense. It's going to be a long season for the Jets, as we all know. Can the Redskins get back on track? Can they do a better job of blocking than they did last week? Can Kirk Cousins play better? Not a good performance at all for the Redskins last week. The Rams, on the other hand, played very well. But again, against a Colts team that was virtually inept, very curious to see how that plays out. San Francisco, Seattle. Seattle struggled at the line of scrimmage, should not have the type of trouble that they had against Green Bay last week, this week against San Francisco. San Francisco offense looks like it has a long way to go, and while Kyle Shanahan's trying to work his magic, there's not much magic. There's not enough playmakers there. This is going to be a problem and could get ugly here in Seattle. And Monday night, curious to see what the Giants can do at home against the Lions. The Giants struggled last week, really struggled on offense, didn't have any answers against Dallas, one of the more surprising performances or non-performances of the week. Can they get anything going at home in what I think is an early must-win type of game against a Detroit team that played well against the Cardinals but made some mistakes? I shouldn't say played well. I thought they outperformed the Cardinals. I thought they were the better team than the Cardinals, but for stretches they played well. But they really make a lot of mistakes that put them behind the eight ball and constantly force them to come from behind. So it should be an interesting week, some interesting games. And obviously, again, we'll start to get a feel for these teams once we get through a quarter of the season into the fifth, sixth game. But really, you know, these games are so important because you start 0-2, 0-3, history says you're not making the playoffs. So really tough for these teams that are 0-1. These games are a little bit more important than you might think they are in this early part of the season. College football action, as I mentioned, not a lot of big games. I am curious to see on Friday night Illinois Lovie Smith's teams against South Florida. Lovie's got this team playing pretty well on both sides of the ball, but they haven't played a tough schedule, like a lot of teams. South Florida struggled a little bit, but finding a way to win, we'll see. They get the game in Tampa. They've been bothered by the storm like everyone in Florida. Very curious Friday night to watch this game and see how it plays out. Arizona needs a win in a big way against UTEP, no doubt, as well on Friday night. The Saturday games and the early action, there could be some ugly matchups. I think one underrated matchup could be UCLA-Memphis. Very curious to see how this Memphis team holds up against Josh Rosen. But this is the type of game where Josh Rosen can get sloppy, can get a little stale. Might make it interesting. We'll see how this plays out. The ugly game of the week, I could see it. I can smell it. Oklahoma State against Pittsburgh. This Pittsburgh defense is going to struggle. This Oklahoma State offense is going to score a ton of points. Curious to see what Michigan can do with their discipline on defense against this Air Force offense. But not a big early game excitement. Baylor Duke's going to be a blowout on the road, as Duke will handle Baylor in what is a complete and utter mess. We get into the 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central time slot games, and clearly the game to me, Tennessee-Florida. And while this game has lost its luster over the years, in that it used to be about who can compete and be the favorite to win the SEC, this game is important for another reason. You got a Florida team that's started off the season poorly against Michigan, trying to find their way on offense. This would be a tough loss if they lose this game. Tennessee struggled against Georgia Tech. I want to see what they have. It's a little bit of an unknown of what we have with both of these teams, and I'm curious to watch this one. Another game that's intriguing, this Notre Dame team going on the road against Boston College. Listen, this Boston College defense is pretty good, pretty salty. For the problems that Brian Kelly's had, you know, losing a couple of games early, not a good start for them. Losing that game against Georgia in a kind of an expected win type of game. This could be a tough loss if they were to lose it, and it is losable. I expect Notre Dame to win, but this BC defense can play, and they're not bad running the football. Virginia Tech's a good-looking team. I think they're going to roll over an East Carolina program that, ever since they let Ruffin McNeil go, it's been a real disaster there. I look for Wisconsin to roll on BYU, but I'm very curious to see how they play. I'm also curious to see what Missouri does against Purdue. This is a big game for Barry Odom. This is one of the few wins that they possibly could have. This Purdue offense can score. This Missouri offense can score. Expect a lot of points in this game, not a lot of defense. But if Missouri doesn't find a way to outscore and win this game and get off the field on defense after firing their defensive coordinator, Damani Cross, this could get ugly for Barry Odom in a hurry. He'll be in the long line of coaches in the SEC that are definitely on the hot seat. The early evening games are highlighted by certainly Clemson and Louisville, Texas, USC, LSU, Mississippi State, but Clemson-Louisville is a game that I'm not sure that it's going to be the game that most people think it's going to be. What Lamar Jackson is doing is phenomenal, but I see this Clemson team is significantly better, significantly better. I mean, 20 points better. Now, how much can Lamar Jackson make this a game for Louisville? That's going to be fun. I can tell you that breaking down the tape against North Carolina and Purdue, that Louisville would be 0-2 right now without it. So I think that this is going to be a game that eventually that Clemson will contain him enough to where they'll win and win going away. Don't see Texas giving a lot of resistance to USC, but it's a good kind of a litmus test for him to see where he is as a program. Tom Herman, I think playing well, playing with a lot of intensity. We'll see what they can do on defense against this USC offense is going to be very interesting. Kansas State-Vanderbilt's going to be intriguing. Vanderbilt's playing good defensively. We know what Kansas State likes to do, play ball control. We'll see how effective they can doing it. But it's going to be a fun game to watch and one an important game for a Vanderbilt team that expects to have a good year and go in bowling. They've got to win this one. Kentucky goes to South Carolina. I know the story of South Carolina has been an impressive one. They played very well last week. They played well for a couple of weeks. I like them a little bit better than I like Kentucky. They're playing better at this point. They're at home. I'd give them the edge here. Kentucky's got to play better, come out better offensively. That's been a problem. Turning the football over, mistakes have really cost them. The LSU-Mississippi State game may be the most intriguing of the early evening ones. Mississippi State has played well thus far. They can run the football. They're a physical run team. They have the ability off the zone read to make plays in the passing game with Nick Fitzgerald. They've got a good couple of good receivers. They can run the football and throw it off the play action, give LSU a little bit of trouble. But I think LSU's defense is more athletic. I think they're more physical. I think the real key is going to be for LSU is their eye discipline and how they're able to play their zone read. Getting caught out of position is really the only avenue, I think, for getting some plays against this LSU defense. LSU's young on defense. We want to see how those guys respond. On the other side of the ball, we're going to see a Mississippi State defense that's pretty physical. Got a couple of good pro prospects on the defensive line that can really move, that can really push the pocket. So it's going to be a challenge for LSU to get the right angles in the run game, have success, move the football consistently, and not be forced to the air. If there's some mistakes made in the game and LSU has to play from behind, we could see, again, what this LSU offense is made of. Like LSU in the game, think they're the more talented team. Even on the road, I think they win it, but it could be an intriguing one nonetheless. Going to be a lot of mismatch type of games, but, boy, Arizona State needs a win big time for Todd Graham. They're going to Lubbock to play Texas Tech. This is kind of maybe the end of the line if he loses a game like this. I don't know even if he survives the season, but he's definitely not back next year if he doesn't win this game, and it's going to be a tough run for him to save his job to this point. Colorado State, Alabama is going to be a blowout, but what can Alabama do? How much they work the passing game is going to be interesting to see. Obviously, you know, Georgia, Auburn have games that I think are blowout-type games. I tell you what's interesting is a Pac-12 game. Is Washington State. Luke Falk is benched by the mercurial Mike Leach. This is a bad-looking Oregon State team. Can they give the Cougars some trouble out in the Palouks? That'll be interesting to see. Washington gets Fresno State in a blowout. Utah will handle San Jose State in a blowout. And Stanford will get revenge off of last week's performance by really physically controlling a San Diego State team that will really struggle with their defensive front against them. Ole Miss Cal is going to be interesting. Wanted to mention a little bit about this game. Very curious to see about what this Ole Miss team is all about. I know that they've played well early. They can throw the football. I expect them to have success throwing the football on Cal. I just don't know what Ole Miss's defense is going to be about. I've really not been tested. I think this Cal offense can move the football. I think this could be a very high-scoring game that could go either way. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup. So just to remind you on what else is on the schedule, Oklahoma has a game against Tulane, an improved team in Willie Fritz, but going to be a big win there. Penn State's got Georgia State. Ohio State's got Army. I mentioned Georgia and Auburn have Samford and Mercer, respectively. TCU has SMU, and so we've got a breakdown and previews of all of these games, of all ranked teams, as well as these matchups. We've got in-depth film room breakdowns that you can get a better feel for the personnel, the draft prospects, the strategy, and whatnot. But we hope that gives you a little bit of a feel of where we are. A little bit concerned some programs that I want to watch, some coaches that are in some trouble. Mentioned Todd Graham at Arizona State. Let's keep an eye on what's going on there. Arizona needs a win this week, as I mentioned. Rich Rodriguez is under some heat, not quite to the degree that Todd Graham is, but it's getting hot over there. So we could see some potential changes. In the SEC, we know about the Kevin Sumlin circumstances. We know that Butch Jones is on a hot seat. However, I think what we need to watch is the Auburn situation and how they're able to fix that offense. If they're not, then I think the history of Auburn is that they'll make a change, and they might even do it at some point during the season if they drop another game or two unexpectedly. It's not going to happen this week, obviously, but they've got a ways to go to fix that offense. A little bit concerned about the Arkansas program, and I mentioned that on Tuesday. Something that's imminent, but something that we've got to see where the program is going. And I do think that they're committed to Brett Bielema, but the success of the program long-term, I think, is definitely in question. So we'll keep an eye out on that. As we get going into the season, we'll obviously keep you up to date on all of what we're hearing and what's going on around the college football coaching landscape and how teams are looking and how things are going in recruiting for the future of the programs as well as just the here and now. We appreciate you joining us. We hope you enjoy the games this weekend. And remember, we'll be back on Tuesday wrapping it up for you. Remember to check us out at LandryFootball.com where we break down these games in depth for you and give you a better feel from a coaching and scouting perspective on what to look for in these matchups and what is happening as we break down the film. It's like having their own coaching and scouting department for less than a magazine subscription. So check it out. We think you'll love it. Enjoy the games. Talk to you on Tuesday.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.